Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Snowing outside.
It is snowing.
Should we kick in Operation Snowflake? Did we used to call it that?
Operation Snowflake. I think we did.
Did we used to call that? Where like we would say, what schools? Are any schools closed yet?
Haven't seen that. Well, given the fact
it's the holiday anyway.
We're right. We're not through New Year's.
Are any schools open? They're opening because it's snowing outside.
Yeah, and on school openings.
Elton Jim is here with us today. It's a family gathering here on the... It's your Sunday morning family gathering here today.
Ho, ho, Dinarino.
So Elton Jim is here, and Andy's here.
I'm here.
Schwani's here.
We missed Andy at the tree time thing this year.
Yeah, I had large bears I had to tame.
Yeah.
Some jobs are never done.
Andy's busy with Hampton OB this time of year.
Right.
You know what I think today is the anniversary of... That day, I don't know what year it was, we had a blizzard on New Year's Eve, and I believe,
if
I'm remembering correctly,
98?
98 or 99, yeah.
I was on the air for 13 hours straight.
Oh,
wow.
Here?
Yeah. Oh, you've mentioned that.
Why?
Yeah.
You couldn't get home?
No one could get in.
Oh, no one could get in?
Get in.
And you were here in the morning?
I guess.
And then you stayed throughout?
I stayed for the rest of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, that was around 98 or 99. Yeah, yeah.
I think.
What'd you do at hour 10?
I'm sure it was fascinating. Whatever it was, I'm sure it was great. Schwani, we made it through another year.
Congratulations. Who does this version of Auld Lang Syne, by the way?
This would be Pentatonix.
Is that the Pentatonix thing?
That's nice.
A cappella.
That is nice.
Right? Listen.
Ooh. We'll take a cup of kindness, yeah.
Very nice.
For Auld Lang Syne.
I want us to start practicing for next year's tree time process.
Oh, that would be a nice little harmony.
Maybe by next November we'll have it down.
Yeah, I want to have a Sunday morning a cappella group.
I have a pitch pipe if you need one.
That's one of my resolutions.
Well, they can be the choir for the wedding ceremony that we'll have. When we marry new couples like you did.
It's going to be a tradition.
Is that going to be a tradition?
Yeah, it should be. I thought that added an interesting
element to
little,
the show.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It gave it a little
solemnity.
Yeah,
it was nice.
I enjoyed walking down the aisle.
Well, any chance to be a flower girl?
Yeah, I mean. My train was a little long, but, you know.
He had the robe and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew he could fit into a quinceañera dress?
With the lights on.
Well, that was, that was sort of a thing for 2023 for me.
Right.
I became ordained.
Oh, just this year?
Online ordained, yeah.
Oh, so you did it just for that?
I did it just for former producer Ryan.
Oh, right.
That was the first one. So Ryan asked me if I would marry them, would I get ordained and marry them. So I did. And then I did another wedding, the grandson of Bob Bell, who, of course, was Bozo in Chicago. I've gotten to know the Bell family through the years.
You got a nice little side hustle here.
I do. Well, I do. I do. And that's why I said we should do one on the Tree Time show. I didn't know it was going to become a tradition.
I think it should.
Yeah.
You got what? That was kind of a last minute. Like, didn't you get that couple like right at the last?
We did. We weren't really having any takers on.
No.
That.
But now
somehow
that it's been
nobody wanted to get married at a Christmas tree store.
Can't imagine why. Huh?
They wrote in at the last minute.
I think they were looking for a free tree, which they didn't get either.
At Lake Barrington. Oh, they did get the Tree Time. Did give them some very.
Oh, did they?
I don't know exactly what, but Tree Time did give them some nice.
Oh,
gift.
That's cool for their home.
Yeah, but so that was, it was the year of the Dean wedding.
Oh. I've done a couple of those. Okay. I've had one divorce and one still going, so I'm one for two.
Mine have all taken. Mine have all stuck. Everybody have a nice holiday. We were off last week.
Yeah.
Yes, we sure did.
It was weird, so not being here on Christmas Eve, because I like to have a little...
We've done nice Christmas Eve shows
in
the past years.
Yeah, we have. So. Yeah. But Shawnee, you had a nice Shawnee displaying a lovely Christmas gift that he received today.
I'm in full uniform this morning.
They had a little Secret Santa thing in the newsroom.
Yep. And I drew Shawnee's name.
Andy got Shawnee's name. And Andy, what did you give him?
Well, I looked at I was looking for a great gift, and I'm thinking to myself, what could I get the guy that has everything? And then I thought, okay, it's Shawnee. I got him a nice long sleeve T-shirt that says Mayberry Police Department.
Perfect.
You know,
I am in uniform today.
Perfect.
I've been deputized.
Perfect.
And I even, Aunt Dean, you marry people, I've been deputized.
You've been deputized?
Yes.
So you could do a citizen's arrest?
I could do a citizen's arrest.
Citizen's arrest.
Citizen's arrest.
Uh-huh.
Shazam.
I saw it, and I'm like, wait, this needs to be Shawnee's.
That had Shawnee. Well, Andy told me about it before Christmas.
I give you a preview.
Oh, you did?
And,
okay.
And it was like... that there is no more a perfect gift for anybody.
No kidding.
Than Shawnee getting anything Mayberry.
Oh yeah.
And I even call Andy Ange.
Exactly. I know, and I knew that where that was from too.
And Barney used to always say, "Hey, Ange."
Yeah. Exactly.
We should get some sort of royalty for keeping that whole Andy.
Don't worry, he's doing all right. Andy owned that show.
We are single-handedly keeping that franchise alive here on the show. And Andy, of course, has had a lovely holiday working 20 hours a day, every day.
Well, you know, you said,
on TV and radio.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So you set the example, Dean. I wanted to work as hard as you. And, you know, I'm still working at it, but it's been interesting but fun.
Yeah, every time you turn on your Channel 9, Andy's there with the
suit. I've been there,
I want to mention, too, that we...
JP better watch out. I think Andy's looking over his shoulder.
Oh, no.
For AM.
Ooh.
You know, if you do sports there, you have to go by your initials.
Exactly. Oh. it's in the sports handbook.
AM and the AM.
Yeah. All right. He is the happiest man. I would, too, I guess.
What were you going to say, Shawnee?
I was going to say, Gilda has been here all week, and we've had a wonderful Christmas celebration and a week. We saw two great shows.
Wow.
We saw...
Gilda, by the way, is Shawnee's girlfriend.
That's right. And
we all know
we
that
we saw... Wow. The Carole King Show, beautiful.
You went all the way out to the Marriott Lincolnshire. Wow.
It was great. And then the following day, we saw the movie out, the musical version of The Color Purple.
Spectacular, right?
You better be ready for that.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
You better be ready for that.
Color Purple movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Spectacular.
Wow. Yeah.
Is Fantasia really that good?
She is really that good.
Isn't she
that
really
wild
is.
Wild
yes.
That she was from American Idol. I mean, if not for American Idol.
Well, she did the role of Celie. On Broadway.
Right.
So she certainly was very, very familiar with this role, as was Danielle Spencer, Shawnee, the one who played Sophia, the Oprah role. She also did that role on Broadway as well.
Yeah.
And Taraji P. Henson, I didn't know she could sing and dance, because I only know her from dramatic roles.
Right.
And she killed it in that movie also. But it's beautiful, right?
Oh,
It's
what a
moving.
Story.
They dig into the
what a story.
They dig into the story a little bit more. It's a little more like the Alice Walker novel, the Pulitzer Prize.
Even more than the original film?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
The Spielberg one?
Yep.
Well, oh wow.
Yep. Great music.
When do the Oscar nominations come out?
I'm not sure.
It's usually around January, isn't it? Mid January?
I think so. I don't remember.
But I probably Why should you know?
This is probably something I should know. I'm on holiday mode right now.
You are the most uninterested guy in entertainment who covers entertainment I've ever seen.
Well, why do I need to know that now? The Golden Globes are next. The Grammys. I take them one day at a time. I have learned over the years. I have taken the Roy Leonard path on this. Let's not get too far ahead of our skis on this stuff.
Look at this snow.
We'll just take it one day
at
a time.
Yeah,
it's snowing outside.
This is major.
It's winter.
Yeah, I know, but my gosh.
Winter, Jim. Relax.
Did they predict this?
Operation, I believe, Shawnee, you've had that in every single one of your news.
We might be here for 13 hours, Dean.
Yeah, well, good luck.
We should do the show from an overpass, right?
That's right. A salt pile.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait till Anita Padilla gets out on an expressway overpass. That's my favorite thing when it snows, to see reporters standing on expressway overpasses for no particular reason.
Or like he said, by the big
salt pile.
The big salt pile.
The big salt pile, yeah.
This is now 16 feet. It'll be 10 feet later today. Yeah.
Well, today's show is just going to be like a little family gathering. That's why we asked.
How is it any different?
We asked Jim to come in because he's part of the Sunday morning family.
Well,
and
that's nice.
Also, Sam Panionovich is going to stop by.
Really?
Our former, who did sports with us before Andy.
Yeah.
And was heard all over WGN doing sports. He's in town visiting his family.
Oh.
He is always nice enough to say hello when he's in town. I said, stop by if you want to.
Well, that's cool.
So he's going to stop by, and we're just going to have some fun today.
Listen anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, we have no A-list stars.
No? No A-list? No theater?
Am I the only regular host who is actually doing his show this week?
Oh, is that true?
I think you might be.
I think so.
I think every other mope on the station has taken vacation.
Well, I'm doing some...
God bless all the fill-ins who have been doing fantastic jobs. But I'm proud to say I am the only regular host actually doing a show this week.
Now, you didn't, though, last year on New Year's Day, which just fell on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because this is, for me, this is 2023 symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
I filled in for you on January 1st, 2023.
Yeah.
And now here I am.
Wrapping it up.
On December 31st, 2023.
Bookending it all
up.
Yeah,
so that's kind of neat. But you did not work last year on New Year's Day. So you're taking a bow today, but you didn't take a bow last year.
I was probably very busy last year. I don't know what I was.
Too much nog.
The final far-flung forecast of 2023 is coming up next. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, it is time once again, and for the final time of 2023, the award-winning far-flung forecast.
With his Mayberry t-shirt.
With Dave Schwann presenting it to us, the only person actually wearing apparel matching the theme
right.
song of the segment today.
You know what? I think now this is going to be my Sunday attire.
Yeah.
So every Sunday.
Is this going to replace your jacket with the I voted sticker on
it? Well, I can wear that too.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it does get a little cool.
It's actually melded into the fabric of the coat.
As Andy said
like
earlier this morning,
the
coat will shred before the button does.
Yeah, yeah, that button's strong.
Were you going to use it again in November, my friend?
Oh, yeah. By the way, Shwani, I wanted to mention I got as a Christmas present a protractor. And
a compass. Did you?
Yeah.
Well, put it
so
to
I
good
can follow
use.
Along. Now this feature will make sense to me.
You can be now be an official cartographer.
Yeah. This is like a secret decoder ring for
drink your Ovaltine.
Ovaltine for Annie Oakley or whatever. Not Annie Oakley. Little Orphan Annie. Yeah. Annie Oakley.
Again.
There's no business
All right.
like show.
What do you got, Shawnee?
Well, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled GPS devices because we're heading way out west today. All the way out to the beach, Redondo Beach, California.
Oh, you surfer boy.
Redondo Beach, California in Los Angeles County. It's on the beach.
I imagine that's why they call it Redondo Beach.
It is also, it also goes along my favorite road in the United States.
Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah. Yes, I love that road. And a very popular tourist attraction, as you might add. Their high school is called the Redondo Union High School. And there have been a number of famous people that have graduated or attended this. Among them, Charles Lindbergh. Actress Demi Moore, Andy, you'll be interested in this. Okay. Eli Morgan, a pitcher for the Cleveland Guardians, went to school there. And also, the Smothers Brothers. Went to Redondo Union, and we lost Tom Smothers on Tuesday, December 26th, at the age of, what, 86?
86.
Yeah. But the Smothers Brothers moved there when they were boys and went to high school there.
God, I loved the Smothers
Brothers.
I loved their comedy before they got their own variety show.
Weren't they on Ed Sullivan and then
they were on all the variety shows.
Yeah.
They would come out with their... beautiful folk songs. They were
folk singers.
Very talented, beautiful singers of folk songs. And what made it so funny was that Tommy would interrupt the songs, with something. And, it was like the perfect back and forth between these two brothers. They were hilarious. That almost always was punctuated with, Mom always liked you best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they got their groundbreaking variety show in the late 60s that, talked to a younger generation and brought musical guests on, like Jefferson Airplane.
The Who.
And The Who, and, the rock and rollers that were never on variety shows that early in the game. But they were also doing a brand of political satire way before Saturday Night Live, way before late night shows were doing them in their monologues. The Smothers Brothers and their writers, like Steve Martin, like Rob Reiner, like Mason Williams, they provided a brand of political satire that was critical of LBJ, that was critical of the war in Vietnam.
Yeah. That's why they got kicked off. That's why they got canceled.
They were fired. They were just downright fired as a result of that. So groundbreaking, and I couldn't have been sadder to hear about the death of Tommy Smothers.
Yeah, but high school graduates of Redondo Beach Union High School. Redondo Beach, by the way, is under this coastal flood alert because they've had those huge waves that have been pounding coast.
Have you seen some of the video?
It was unbelievable.
That's scary.
The video of people walking on on what would be like a boardwalk, and suddenly these giant waves come in.
Yeah. A car move.
And
they go
running. Yeah,
but it's mostly cloudy there, 54 in. And we had word that flood alert will continue today because those waves aren't letting up just yet.
I like the names of cities in California.
I do, too.
Redondo Beach.
Pismo Beach.
I like
Marina del Rey.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Laguna Beach.
The Slauson Cutoff.
And every time I'm in California and I'm on the freeway there, and I see the sign that says Slauson, the exit off the freeway.
Because it's legit.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
You think of Johnny Carson going,
go to
the Slauson cut off, and don't get your Slauson cut off.
Cut off your Slauson. Go to the Slauson cut off. Cut off your Slauson. You know, you talk about Tommy Smothers. Did you notice, as he got older, he looked just like Johnny Carson?
Hmm.
In fact, I saw something on YouTube. One day they were on toward Johnny's last week, and before he quit in 93, and Tommy Smothers came out as Johnny.
He did a dead on Carson.
Yeah, so Ed announced him, and he came out and he did the looks, and he wore the same outfit.
Yeah,
it was, and Johnny was on the floor.
Yeah. Good stuff. An outstanding far flung forecast for today, Shawnee.
Thank you very much, and a happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Mom always liked Dean better.
Well, that's as I would always respond to that. What's not to love? I feel like Bing Crosby.
Is that Harry Connick?
It is.
Yeah.
I feel like Bing Crosby of my holiday special.
Yeah, with David Bowie coming over.
The Sunday morning. He's like the relative that you're never really sure what they're going to do when they show up.
Did you have this bag of oranges that you hit your kids with?
Now, don't spoil my holiday fun. This is a family gathering here this morning.
Bring a little eggnog.
That's the only reason you're here, pal. I got news for you. And what a nice visit from our former sportscaster here on Sunday morning. And, one of Chicago's very own, now living in Boston, Sam Panionovich is stopping by for an Uncle Dean visit.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy. Happy holidays to you.
I'm feeling just peachy after 8 days of boozing in Chicago. I feel great.
Oh, see, there's nothing more holiday-filled than getting boozed up in Chicago for the holidays.
I'm like a floozy for the last week. It's been something.
Wow. This just gets more and more Norman Rockwell, doesn't it?
Well, this is what Elton Jim does. He just brings it out.
I didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
You just brought a bag of oranges. I mean, you did do something.
I'm impressed, Dean, that after, at least 4 or 5 years has it been? That you've been gone?
2018,
That I even remember who he is?
No, that you could say his name without even, hesitating because it's not the easiest. Well, it's not the easiest name to say, but you, boom, you're a pro.
He's from my neighborhood.
It's been 5 years, huh?
From my neighborhood.
Almost six now.
Wow.
You're back visiting the family for the holidays?
Yeah, 23rd.
Who is the old Pantionovich family?
Oh, they're great. They're in Naples, Florida, but they came up for like the 22nd to the 26th, and then they go back to the...
Got back to the hot weather.
Land of the snowbirds.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. So what's going on with you, man?
Oh, geez. Where do I start?
You're in Boston. You're
yeah.
He's in wicked Boston.
Don't have an accent yet.
I don't know. I can't even do that accent. Can you do that accent?
Park your car.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's very Goodwill Hunting of you. Yeah. Most people don't have it, but the ones that do have it are
thick,
overblown.
It's real, though.
It is.
Those guys that have it, have it.
Yeah, nothing like sitting in a diner or something at 7 in the morning and you got two guys arguing about the Red Sox. The Sox! Sox! Just shut up, please.
You know, one of my favorite things, Larry Potash from the TV morning show, is from Lynn, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And you get a couple of drinks in Larry at a holiday party, and he goes right back.
Does it come out?
Right back to his Boston accent.
Yeah, I had friends that were from Maine, and she spoke perfect English. Her mother came in 2 seconds, boom, she was talking with the accent.
Yeah,
immediately.
I don't get it. I don't think we have accents, but...
But if you hear people say we do.
When you go someplace, people go, oh, you have such a Chicago accent. It's like, what are you talking about?
It's a fun city, though, isn't it, Boston?
Oh, it's great.
Do you actually live? You don't live in Boston proper?
2 years in Boston proper, and now 10 minutes north.
It's a cool city.
I'm not going to give you my address, Elton.
No, but what I like about
Boston. Give it out after you leave. We'll give it out. And his home phone number, also,
and my social security number.
Right?
Are you allergic to anything?
mother, we've got his mother's maiden name coming up. We've got the whole thing for you.
First street you lived on.
Right. Now explain what you're doing in Boston.
So I do a television show Monday to Friday. Basically, it's like a stock broker show for sports betting, and we tell people who to gamble on. And when I win, people don't say anything, and when I lose, they hate me.
You're the worst guy in the world.
Yeah. No. I dealt with it last night. I had the Cowboys last night, and they did not cover the spread. And it's been a great December. And it's a nice pick, jerk. You know, those are the DMs. You win 9 in a row in the 10th
Thank God
one.
For social media,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the pitchforks are coming at you after one loss, but it is what it is.
Well, it's great that you can make a career out of being a degenerate gambler, so I think that's fantastic.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
It's actually funny. They wrote about it in the Sun-Times last Christmas, and I think the quote I said was, you went from a degenerate to an expert overnight. You know, I remember Todd Manley one time. I might have told you this last year.
Todd was our former general manager, program director.
Look,
man. Very chill dude. Yeah.
I don't know if we should be doing the spreads, man. I just. It's like, Todd, it's sort of a...
It's a whole industry.
Well, this is right before it went legal. It was like a year before. And you saw it coming.
Yeah,
because
right.
It was eventually
exactly.
Going to happen.
Everybody was doing it.
You know, man, I just...
That is so tough.
I love what you're doing, but I just...
And who do you have in the Falcons-Packers game?
All I said was, like, the Bears are playing the Raiders. Kyle Long is questionable. Jay Cutler's a jerk. And the Bears are a 3-point favorite.
I don't know about the favorite, man. Brent Musburger was doing that with Jimmy the Greek in his 70s. Yeah. I mean, who were they talking to when they would do that? You know, they'd have Jimmy the Greek. He was the odds maker.
Dean and I have some cousins that did some of that, too, I'm sure,
back
in the day.
No, I'm pretty sure that most of my cousins are still doing it.
Oh.
Actually, I don't know. Do you like doing that more than the daily sports casting like you used to here?
It's a good question. I don't want to do it forever. That's for sure. Doing this for 10 more years, it would take... 10 more years off my life, I think. But it is fun.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
Just the stress of it.
Oh, really?
And it never sleeps. Like, if you're doing stocks, you know, the stock market opens at a time and then closes at a time every day. Same thing. This never sleeps. You know, quarterback news comes out at 5 in the morning or 7 at night, and lines are always moving. It's literally 24/7, 365, and there's always a game. So... It's fun, though. It's definitely a thrill.
So how do you make your choices, though?
Oh.
I mean, is it a personal opinion?
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Is that? Yeah. Well,
no.
I wondered. Or, I mean, is there something more, you know, something more statistical on which you make your decision?
It's more mathematical than anything. I make numbers on teams and everything. Like, every player has a number. Every team has a number. And then, you know, my numbers are different from the Vegas numbers. But
so it's not by the colors of the uniforms?
No.
No.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. My grandma used to do that in the bracket.
I would call them outfits, though.
grandma wins the bracket every year because she picked the purple team. I'm like,
exactly.
I mean, it's mostly math, but then sometimes you get information, and that's the best when you know something that the house doesn't know.
The house.
I don't want to make you jealous, but Andy Mazur, mm-hmm. who when you deserted us and left, Andy's been doing a pretty fun job doing sports here, Andy's been working like 22 hours a day for the last 2 weeks or something.
This is the truth.
Yeah,
but it's glamorous, you know, right, Sam? It's glamorous.
Is it better to do an 18 inning baseball game, Andy, or work 20 hours in a day?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually. You know, I've done 22 innings before. That was no fun. So I think I might take the hours.
Then you get the rain delay, Dean.
This is true.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Top of the 15th, and the heavens have opened up again.
Yeah. And it's 12-2. Let's go for a six-hour rain delay.
I remember the rain delay years when we had the Cubs here.
Oh, yeah.
And I would, you know, my main job was doing commercials and things like that here, and I was the fill-in guy. So when the Cubs were on, they would go to a rain delay, somebody would call me in my office and say, get to the main studio right away. You're going on the air in 5 minutes with not one thing prepared. And I would go, and as I'm sure if people heard the show, could easily tell I had not one thing prepared.
Dance!
Well, when I was on in the afternoon with Gary, the Cubs were here, and they played mostly, you know, afternoon games, and we would have to watch the game. We wouldn't know. Like, sometimes we were on for a half, like, the game would go into extra innings, or it's like, oh, there's two outs, get ready. And all of a sudden, there would be a rally.
Yeah, we'd and go now for like we're two sitting. More hours.
Yeah, and we'd be sitting there. So we'd come on for a half hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
I imagine Gary Meyer wasn't too pleased when the Cubs tied it in the bottom of the ninth.
No, because he wasn't a very big sports fan to begin with.
He just wanted to get the show going, I'm sure. So when you guys, Andy and Sam, when you guys get together, when you sports guys get together, what do you talk about? Do you talk about sports? Do you talk about the opera?
Mostly interior design.
Yeah. Interior? Nessun Dorma? Yes or no?
Fabrics? They discuss different fabrics?
Yeah, what fabric you look better in.
What do you guys say?
Scrapbooking.
Where'd you get that rug, Andy? It's very nice.
It ties the room together.
And he doesn't mean your toupee, by the way.
No, that would be mine.
I knew what he meant.
So, like, really, I mean, is it an extension of a sports talk show when you guys are just hanging out?
We're talking industry stuff, I think, too.
Talk a lot of smack.
Yeah. Like, hey, did you hear that guy do this? Well, man, he stinks. I get better than him. You know, that kind of thing. And we're a little petty sometimes. It's okay.
We can be. It's a very jealous industry.
Name names.
I can't. I can do that too.
You know a couple of them. Let's just put it that way.
I'm sure I do. So you spend the holidays here at home. And you're going back to Boston. You have perfectly timed driving back to Boston with this apparently a blizzard that's going on outside.
It'll follow him east.
We moved. Debbie and I moved to Boston in a U-Haul in a blizzard.
Oh.
Because when you get the U-Haul, you got to go.
Right.
You know, where are you going to park the U-Haul on the south side, right? You can't exactly just roll it on the
curb.
Get
it that day and move.
Yeah. So we load up the U-Haul and then crossed ourselves and then just made the drive.
How long is the drive?
15. Oh. In a blizzard, though, it could be 20.
What do you take? Like, what road are you going to take?
So you basically just take 90.
The whole way?
Yeah. And then you go through a beautiful drive through Indiana and Ohio, and then and you hit New York, and then...
Do you ever stop, for the world's largest rubber band ball? Or
the corn maze?
The giant aluminum foil structure?
Yeah, breakfast pizza in Iowa? Oh, that's the wrong direction.
The big Paul Bunyan thing?
Yeah, a lot of Paul Bunyans on the roadway.
We did do it straight through here. 15 straight. Left at 6:30 in the morning. Stopped maybe three times for gas, and then got to Chicago.
Is that your plan now?
No.
Oh, you're gonna
through this? No way. We'll stop in Buffalo, maybe get some wings.
Oh God, Buffalo won't be too snowy.
It's gonna be horrible.
They get snow.
And like Dean said, it's just gonna follow me like Pigpen. It's gonna follow me all the way east.
Yeah, exactly. You know who's big on the road trips is Dave Schwann. Schwannies loves the road trips. Schwanny, do you have any recommendations for Sam? Of things he
down 90.
Well, he's going to be following a route. As a matter of fact, place came to mind
of
in
course.
New York State. There's a, and I'm trying to find it here on the map.
Aliquippa.
No, not Aliquippa. That's Pennsylvania.
That's Ditka land.
Same thing.
But there's a small town just outside of Erie, Pennsylvania. As a matter of fact, it's the first town in New York State. And there is a restaurant there which has been around for over 100 years. It's a marvelous place to go. And
you hear him looking it up? He's punting right now?
I am.
Click, 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 click.
Keep vamping there. Keep vamping. Keep vamping.
They serve complimentary water before you eat your meal.
No, you have to get off. There it is. Here it is. Ripley, New York.
Ripley,
New York. Yeah, you have to get off 90. I don't know if they have an exit there or not. So it's best to get off at Erie.
Yeah, just
how do you get off?
Yeah, just
then,
turn the car.
And then,
just roll
and
the
then
car.
You go left. Go by Wally's Service
Station. Go to the Slauson Cutoff.
Pass the old oak tree on Main Street.
And then if you want a milkshake, stop at Walker's Drugstore.
Here the stop and go light.
Oh, Ripley, here we go with the Andy Griffith again.
Yeah. But Ripley, New York has this wonderful place called Meaders, M-E-E-D-E-R-S. We stopped in there. My dad and I did a road trip out to New England and Quebec. Let's see, 10 years ago, 2014. And you know, we stay off the interstate as much as we could. And we were driving on US 20 through Ripley, New York, and saw this place right there on the road and felt right at home going in there. It was amazing.
So what would you recommend they eats?
Burgers.
The Meaters burger?
Yeah, the Meaters burger.
I found a picture, Dean, if you want to describe the burger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It took me 2 seconds. It took Schwanee an hour to find the place.
Yeah.
It's because I had to look it up.
It appears to be a ground beef patty that is
in a bun with cheese on it.
Well, there's the tomato and looks like maybe some onion and lettuce on there.
Does it come with fries? Or are those
fries with the picture depicts ketchup already.
Ooh,
on the fries, which is always a nice...
I may have to risk my life to get off the highway in a blizzard and get this cheeseburger.
Yeah, but it, you know, there's not a lot of places in the United States where you can get what is known as the hamburger. So
it's quite a delicacy.
So Schwanee, we dip into the Schwanee bucket looking for something unusual, and we get a burger place.
Well, he's a sophisticate.
But it's an independent burger place. It's not. It's not your typical chain.
It's not a franchise joint.
No, not at all.
I see.
Ripley, New York.
Believe it or not.
Yep.
I'm going to pass a sign that says Ripley, New York, and I'm going to lose it. I'm laughing, thinking about this conversation. Exactly.
You just might. I'm looking at, there's an exit ramp there. Don't look at
cars. Oh, we're back. Better. We're even back in better. Business.
Lord. Tell us more about what's going on. How do you like Boston? Just as a city,
it's fantastic.
I mean, it's nothing but history. I've been there several times, and you know, I'm there a couple of days at a time. Whatever, I try to see a little history when I'm there. But what's it like to actually live there?
It's great. I mean, the best part about Boston, I think, not to go back to the food, is the fresh seafood poured on top of the pasta with your favorite sauce.
That's, you go to legal seafood.
I've been there a couple times. That's more of a touristy joint.
Touristy thing, yeah.
The food is fantastic. The people are really great. Very similar to here. There's no crime, somehow. Knock on wood. Mm. No crime.
And same with us. Same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Same with us here.
Are we in? We're in Gotham, right?
In this room.
Yeah. You can also, like, Chicago is so big. Like, it would probably, let's see, to drive from Andersonville or like the Evanston border to the southeast side where we used to live. What, an hour?
Yep.
You can drive from North Boston to South Boston in 25 minutes. It's very compact.
It's tiny. I was shocked when I got there and saw how small it was.
But driving there is crazy, though.
In a blizzard.
With all the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Curvy streets. You could be going east at once, and next you're going north. It's like you don't even know where
you're
going.
If you miss a turn in Boston, it's 15 minutes out of the way. One turn. Yeah. You miss a turn here, downtown, you go two blocks, make a right,
right,
and make a couple rights.
Yep,
in
yep.
Boston, you're in Newton.
Yeah, right.
You're in Cambridge. You miss one turn.
Yeah.
But no, you can. And the population, like somebody actually asked me the other day, how many people live in Boston? And I said, I should know this. I live there. There's only like 600,000 people in Boston.
Surprisingly small. It's surprisingly small.
Smaller than Seattle.
Yeah.
But the metro is 5 million.
Is there a sense of the history there?
Oh, yeah. It's around every corner.
Yeah, is it?
Especially when you get to the north end and the streets are the size of a number two pencil.
Yeah.
And you can't park.
And the Freedom Trail.
Freedom Trail, for sure. Bunker Hill. And then the restaurants are, like, you know, 1700, 1800. Actually, our house has a plaque on it, and it says C period 1794.
Oh, that's cool.
So the house is older than Schwanee. Yeah, I mean, it's
by minutes.
Crazy.
Slightly.
Yeah, just a little bit. A lot of history, though.
You go to the Cheers bar all the time?
I've been there a couple times.
Have you?
Yeah, but I mean, but that wasn't really the bar.
It doesn't look like, yeah, it doesn't look like anything, what you see. But the exterior,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, but the real bar was on a studio. And
Bull and Finch, it's called?
Yeah. But the real studio was in, like, California. Yeah.
The only thing there is, if you look, there's that little multicolored window that they did have, like, up by the stairway on the TV show.
Well, they made it look that way on the TV set.
Right. But when you go in, it's nothing at all.
They basically herd you in their like cattle.
Yeah.
So you get a picture and buy a $50 hoodie.
Yeah,
that's really all it is.
So you can walk around the street with your bag that says Bull and Finch on it. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you
good chowder
there, stopped by. I'm glad you stopped by. It's great to see you. Continued success with everything, both on the air and off the air. And it's always nice to hear from you.
Well, thanks for always letting me come back, and Happy New Year.
What are the odds you're going to make it to Boston in 15 hours?
Flip a coin. Even money.
You're an odds maker. Tell me the odds.
Minus 110 each way.
Shawnee, isn't this storm supposed to be diminishing today?
Here. It's headed east.
Is it really gonna, heading east?
Wow. This is why you get the big bucks, Shawnee.
Yes, it's going to be
right on 90.
Decreasing clouds tomorrow, but that means storms in the northern hemisphere move from west to east.
Mm.
And that is the direction in which the storm is heading.
It is going to follow the car all the way east.
Right into Ripley.
Where there may or may not be an exit.
Sammy, give our love to your family. It's great to see you. Thanks for stopping by our little family holiday get-together here today.
Thanks, Uncle Dean.
Definitely part of the Sunday morning family, always. And Dave Schwann, in addition to giving fantastic advice on where to get a, what was it called? Hamburger?
A hamburger.
I think that's what it was called, he said. Also has our Sunday morning news. Oh, very nice to have Sam stop by and visit. Like a little family reunion here on this Sunday
nice
morning.
Nice surprise. I had no idea. Yeah. It was cool to see him. I haven't seen him literally in probably 5 years.
He's always a gentleman and a longtime friend, and great to have him back to visit with us. You know, I decided not to do like all the regular features here today because, you know, it's a holiday. I am going to talk a little about if you want to go see some theater, or you want to go do something for New Year's Eve. We'll get into that in the next half hour. But I thought, you know, I don't really want to do any of the A-list interviews, all the usual stuff. And here's the most significant thing. Normally in this time segment, for the last 3 years, Dr. Kevin Most would be here giving medical advice. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show, Dr. Most decided to retire. And his last show was 2 weeks ago.
Did that take you by surprise? Did you know anything about that?
He called me ahead of time before we announced it on the air and told me. But, yeah, it made me sad because I loved his segment. He is truly one of the greatest guys I've ever met, personally, professionally, et cetera. He's the greatest ever. So I'm sad he's not going to be with us. We'll figure out. I would like to continue to do a medical segment, which we'll do starting next week again.
Dr. Dean?
I thought, how hard can it be to give out credible medical advice?
Dean's really? Diagnosis.
Yeah. Between Schwanee, Andy, and me, and when you're here, we can tell you if you need to get your gallbladder out.
You know if your side hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an appendix. It sounds like an appendix to me.
So you're saying the doctor malpractice is in?
That's what we'll call the segment.
Dr. Malpractice to the surgery room.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
Calling Dr. Howard.
That actually may be more credible than what I was talking about in the first place. But we'll miss Dr. Most tremendously. We will continue with great medical advice for you here, even if we have to give it out ourselves. At least here in downtown Chicago, it looks like the snow is letting up a little bit, as you predicted, meteorologist Dave Schwann.
Yeah. Happy Sunday.
Schwanee's trying to get Skilling's job when Skilling retires in February.
So that's what's why it? I saw him. Over
we
there.
Need to have him on before he does indeed.
Yeah,
exit.
He said he would come on. I talked to him when he made the announcement, and he said he would come on with us then.
Good.
He's only
good.
Got about a month. What, 2 months now?
Yeah,
right,
February.
Yeah, end of February.
New Year's resolutions? Anyone?
Never make one.
The usual.
That's your resolution to never make
never
one?
Never make one. Yeah. I started that a long time ago, and I've stuck to it. That's the only one I've ever stuck to.
Can't go wrong with that, right?
How about you, Shawna? You must...
The usual, eat better, you know, watch your money a little better, that no. kind of thing.
Right.
You know.
I'm with Andy.
Yeah.
I don't do anything.
I'm making the resolution to try to do a little less carjacking this year.
Well, that's very good.
But it's not easy to break that habit, Dean. I give you a lot of credit for at least putting that out there.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you by January 4th.
You think I'm going to?
You are going to be jumping and running.
I'm going to want to get into another one of those Kias.
You're going to be at some shell and just.
Crazy as that.
I'm glad you don't know what kind of car I drive. leave work and I see him trying.
I just
you see me out there with a coat hanger trying to break into your car.
My resolution for 2024 is to stay sane. Do we realize how chaotic
the world's a little nuts?
It's nuts now, and this year with this presidential election,
yeah.
And Chicago is going to be ground zero in August
because of the convention.
And don't forget, the Republican one is in Milwaukee, so the whole Midwest is going to, I mean. Oh, we've got 2 weeks right. before they vote in Iowa.
Yeah.
So rest now, because I think this is going to be the most chaotic presidential election we've ever experienced.
I think given that, I've decided to change my resolution. I am going to take up smoking this year. Not that, Guy Lombardo.
And the Royal Canadian.
That's when New Year's Eve was New Year's Eve.
Do people even remember Guy Lombardo anymore? He owned New Year's Eve.
He owned New Year's Eve before Dick Clark did.
Right.
Then Dick Clark took over with his rockin' New Year's Eve, and now I guess it's Ryan Seacrest.
But it's still Dick Clark's rockin' New Year's Eve with still, Ryan
his
Seacrest.
His company still owns the franchise. Yeah.
But they used to always go, and now we go to the Carlisle Ballroom in New York.
Wasn't it the Waldorf Astoria?
Oh, was it the Waldorf? Yeah, it was somewhere in New York.
It was
the
Waldorf Astoria.
And there was Guy Lombardo.
And this is how, I can't even tell you the number of times. You know, we always had New Year's Eve at home when I was a kid. And my parents, my grandmother... aunts, uncles, you know, we would get together. They would play cards. That was the big deal.
What game?
Rummy, 500
Rummy. Oh, 500.
They were big 500 Rummy. 500. Still are 500 Rummy players.
500 Rummy.
And my mom would put out a spread of appetizers, and my grandmother would sneak me a little blackberry brandy.
Ah, so that's where the problem started.
That's where it started.
At a young age.
That's where it started.
Did you ever used to go out?
But we would, you know, we have the TV on in the background.
Marx and, Brothers movies.
And wait for, or W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
The old marathons that WGN used to
play
to
all the Marx Brothers
and movies. But we would wait for Guy Lombardo
to
ring in the new year, count it down and ring in the new year.
Did you ever used to go outside? I remember going out with my cousins. Because my mom and dad used to always go to those big banquet hall things on New Year's Eve. That was their thing. And I'd always staying over by my cousins. Did you ever go outside with the pot and the wooden spoon?
Oh, yeah. People used to
pots and yeah.
Pans.
You know, I don't see or hear people, but we used to do that all the time.
You hear fireworks.
Yeah, now you do. And gunshots, sadly.
And gunshots. Well,
sadly.
No. Back in the day, people would shoot off guns even.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I...
Yes, absolutely.
I lived in a nicer neighborhood.
Apparently you did.
We just had pots and pans.
I have a recording. One Christmas, my mom got me a cassette recorder.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny to... I brought it to my family's Christmas, and it recorded. And stuck it in the corner so I could spy on everybody. But what you hear is my grandmother, now passed away. Some of my uncles, now passed away. You just hear us talking, and there's a football game in the background or something. But I cherish these recordings that I now made because to hear my grandmother's voice literally will bring me to tears. But I also did it on that New Year's Eve. I did the same thing. and you could hear my grandmother talking. You can hear Johnny Carson in the background.
I can't believe you're saying this, because I got a black Panasonic cassette player.
Yeah, mine was Zenith.
Okay, mine was a Panasonic in 1973, and on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, I went around. I mean, like I said, that's why we're twin sons from different mothers. I went around and interviewed everyone in the house and asked them about current events. Oh. So I said, what do you feel about Watergate?
Oh, wow.
And how do you feel about the energy crisis? And I still have those tapes.
Yeah.
And I was just saying to my wife the other night, that was now how many, 50 years ago?
Right.
I think only one or two people
still alive.
Are still alive.
Yeah,
everyone else has passed away. I remember that so close. I still quote some of my family's, like, what do you think of Watergate? My one aunt was a Republican, and she always goes, Democrats make a big fuss over nothing. And so anytime I'm watching a show now, I just go, Democrats making a big fuss over nothing.
How funny is that?
And but like you said, I cherish those tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were flash moments in time.
Exactly right.
And wow, I can't believe that you did that too.
I didn't do the interview.
No, but you still had the tape recorder playing.
I was really more like Nixon and the Watergate. I was secretly recording people.
You know, I mean, I could, you know, if we need to, you know, I could, if we had to, I could get that, you know.
So anyway.
Oh, very cool.
I hope everybody has a wonderful New Year's Eve for tonight. The Romova Theater is back tonight.
Oh, right.
Famous,
I've been reading about
famous
that.
Famous theater in Bridgeport that's been closed for decades is reopening as a performing arts theater tonight. And they have a big New Year's Eve.
Aren't there a lot of high profile people involved in that?
Jennifer Hudson is, Quincy Jones is, Chance the Rapper. They're the people who are. I don't know if they're the owners or they are some of the money behind reopening this beautiful old theater.
Where is it at?
It's on. It's in Bridgeport. I don't remember the exact streets. I want to say Morgan. But I might be wrong about that. Somebody will remind us. The fireworks are back tonight. That's kind of
and
a
no Dean.
No, we're not doing a countdown show.
Why?
This year. I don't know.
It's not New Year's without you in one of your hats.
It's going to have to be New Year's.
I'll never forget that 4th of July when you was pouring
a
rain
downpour.
In your hat.
I got soaked. Yeah.
You had that wicker hat.
It was kind of a straw. Yeah, summertime hat drenched. I was drenched like a wet rat on live television. It was hilarious. It was.
And it rained just when you were on.
But the over at Navy Pier, they're gonna do the fireworks again over the lakefront. So you know, that'll be nice. And what's really cool is they do these fireworks now on the river over the six bridges of the Chicago River from. I guess like from Columbus all the way down to, McClure Court. I don't know. It goes to the six bridges.
The bridges.
And it's along the Chicago City Walk. And it's that's kind of a cool thing.
Because that was only a couple of years ago when they started that, because I remember watching you do that the first year.
Yeah. And it's that'll be fun to watch. There are performances. There's a huge comedy concert tonight with Cedric the Entertainer and D.L. Hughley and like three or four other top comedians, all at the United Center, if that's something that interests you. Violinist Lindsay Sterling is at the Auditorium Theater tonight, if you want something along the classical forms. Teatro Zanzani is doing, you know, what they do normally. They do their sort of, it's cabaret, it's acrobatics. It's somewhat Cirque du Soleil-like, but it's also music. They're doing a special a dinner show. Well, they do a dinner show every night. That's what they do there. But they're doing a New Year's Eve presentation tonight. That's actually where I'm going to be tonight.
Look at you. Are you going to be all decked out? You got tuxes? And
no.
No, just, but you're not playing it
cool? Just going to put a sweatshirt on.
How about, you're going to bring out your New Year's tiara. Right?
Probably not. Tiara's not so fun to wear when you're bald. There's really
it leaves marks.
Nothing really for it to hang on to. unless I get some duct tape, double-sided duct tape or
something.
Well,
those New Year's Eve hats are always weird. The ones that you buy at the store.
Very uncomfortable.
They're oddly shaped. Yep. They're always like cones.
Yep.
But I always know the tiaras were always. You know,
there's some fun things going on. If you're looking for something last minute, but a lot of people, you know, just prefer staying in. Totally get that. Hopefully it'll be a nice, safe New Year's. I wanted to go over the list of those we have lost in 2023. This has been, I think, a remarkable year for celebrity deaths. It seemed like constantly I was writing obituaries
every day
this year. Up until the other day, Tom Smothers. We've had several over the last couple of days. It's just not stopping. And I also thought of, it was New Year's Eve last year that Jeremy Renner had that terrible accident with the snowplow.
Was it New Year's?
Nearly killed him last
year.
Crushed his legs.
And now he's
nearly killed
around.
Him, and now he's completely rehabbed. And that's one of the miracle stories of
That was New Year's, though, huh?
It was. Wow. Exactly. So let me take a break, and we've got, sadly, lots of local people of note who passed away, and lots of A-list celebrities as well. It's 10:20, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And it is 10:23. We're on till 11 o'clock today. Hap and OB will be coming in with Andy Mazur at 11 o'clock.
One of his 40 jobs.
One of Andy's 40 jobs that he has. Andy's the busiest man in show business. I was looking back on the list of, you know, those that we have lost for 2023, actors, musicians, writers, and so forth. And this really has been a remarkable year. And I guess, I mean, for me, one of the most profound losses this year was the loss of Tina Turner. Always one of my favorites. Up until I saw Pink at Wrigley Field this year, my favorite concert of all time.
I remember you saying that. You were quite taken.
By Pink, yeah.
Yeah.
As I was Tina Turner for different reasons. But what a remarkable legacy that she left us. I guess we have to put Matthew Perry's death, his unexpected death, near the top of that list.
Especially for a generation. I mean, that's a generational show. That's
very much so.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Very much so. But David Crosby, we lost.
Yeah, you forgot. I forgot about that one when I saw some.
Yeah, Burt Bacharach, we lost this year. We lost Ahmad Jamal, who was a legend in jazz. Harry Belafonte, we lost this year.
Dale.
Yeah, exactly right. Tony Bennett. Another landmark artist that, can never be replaced. Sinead O'Connor at a relatively young age. She was only 56 years old when she died in July. Paul Rubens.
I forgot about Pee-wee, too.
Pee-wee Herman, suddenly dying. Only 70 years old. He died in July. Jimmy Buffett was another great, tremendous loss. This year, Ryan O'Neal passing away just recently. Actor Andre Brower passing away just recently. Raquel Welch also dying just recently. Richard Roundtree, who was the star of Shaft, the movie Shaft.
And the TV show, too, wasn't he? Or was he?
Variety. I don't know. Was there a Shaft TV
show? There was for a while. Yeah.
I don't remember that. Yeah. But he was in lots of things, but best known as playing John Shaft, the private detective.
Who's the?
Yeah.
I won't say it.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Just talk about Shaft.
Let me just tell you. Shut your mouth.
I have a filter.
You do? He brings it out once a year, whether he needs it or not.
On the last day of the year.
Norman Lear.
Oh.
You know, 101 years old, truly a life well lived. I never liked when somebody said, oh, well, they lived, you know, my mother passed away, she was 97, and a lot of people said, oh, she was 97 years old, that's a long life. When somebody, when a loved one dies,
it's never,
you don't, it's never long enough.
No.
It's that's kind of, that's, I understand people's sentiment. They're saying, well, at least she didn't die young. But Norman Lear, 101 years old, and maybe one of the most influential people ever in the history of television, with his...
Changed everything.
Changed
literally
everything.
That's not even an understatement. People that are younger don't realize what they are watching is a result. All their favorite shows are a result of Norman Lear.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, it kind of goes back to... We were talking earlier about the death of Tommy Smothers and how the Smothers Brothers show changed television with political satire and controversial political satire. Norman Lear did the same thing. I mean, he took that baton and ran with it with All in the Family. The Smothers Brothers were just a little ahead of their time, where CBS,
that's ironic,
fired them.
Yeah.
Because they wanted something that was more young-oriented, something that was an alternative to Bonanza on Sunday night. And they put the Smothers Brothers in there because they were youth-oriented.
But they put on All in the Family 2 years later.
Yeah. Yeah,
which used, you know, bigoted terms and talked about abortion and Vietnam and everything that the Smothers Brothers were talking about.
Right, right. That, I mean, that's you know,
2 years later,
really kind of the ironic part of that whole.
There is no. I think, to your point, I think there's no Saturday Night Live without the Smothers Brothers.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
couldn't agree more.
There really wouldn't have been.
And really, like the, you know, the Norman Lear shows.
Oh.
That broke boundaries, that allowed Saturday Night Live to...
To say those things.
To say and do the kinds of things that they did that would have never flown on television prior to Norman Lear, prior to the Smothers.
If you remember the early days of Saturday Night Live, there was a lot of drug references, you know,
right,
which never were mentioned. I mean, they were talking about lids, and you know, they were using the drug jargon because that's what they're talking about, and that was never spoken on television before.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
it was a transitionary time, thanks to some of these people that we have lost this year. I also want to acknowledge some local luminaries and people that I admired tremendously. Bill Zemi died this year.
Man.
Bill, who is a writer, an author, a biographer, one of the sweetest and most lovely human beings that I've ever met in my life, chronicled the life of Johnny Carson, was the only person to get a full interview with Johnny Carson after he retired and wrote a book on it.
Wrote for Rolling Stone.
He wrote a book about Frank Sinatra. He wrote for Rolling Stone. He wrote for all the major publications. And he passed away after a long battle with cancer.
I used to go to Jilly's with him.
Yep. He loved it.
Yeah.
We lost Dick Biondi this year as well, one of the legendary great DJs of all time. And speaking of, the great Lynn Bremmer, everybody's best friend.
XRT.
From WXRT, we lost to cancer this year. We lost Ian Punnett.
I just read about that.
Here on WGN for several years.
Wasn't he before Spike? Wasn't he in the afternoons?
He was, but I think Spike...
Right around the same time Spike was it? Here.
They bounced around different time periods.
Oh, okay. But, yeah. Ian Case punted
but,
at the time.
He passed away just a few days ago, really.
Yeah.
Jerry Springer passed away this year. The great Newton Minow. One of the legendary, he was the FCC commissioner, the head of the FCC during John Kennedy's administration, and famously, came up during a speech, said that television was a vast wasteland, something that may still ring true. The great William Friedkin, the director, got a start here in Chicago, was a director at WGN-TV before he would go on to direct French Connection and The Exorcist, among many other projects. So
he just did a remake of The Caine Mutiny. It was one of his last with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
And are you going? Because I have one name I would mention. Mike Nussbaum.
Oh.
The local
legendary,
actor.
Legendary theater actor.
He was a couple of days shy from his 100th birthday, and he was acting into his 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Nussbaum.
Yeah, a lot of great people that will definitely not be forgotten. Hey, great Dan Fogelberg. Same old Lang Syne.
Chicago area native.
Isn't he Peoria?
Yeah, somewhere
around from
there.
Peoria, I think so. Yeah.
He was young, too, 65 or something like that.
He was very young when he passed away. Yeah. Are we noticing that now more just because we're all older?
I think so. My dad, when he was in his 70s, used to go, you know, someone would die. Oh, my God, he's a young guy. He was 74.
You relate to that. It never used to seem that way.
Man, a young guy, how old is he? 72. Maroon.
Hey, maybe some of you are trying to go see a movie tonight. There are lots of really good ones out right now. I was talking about Wonka.
I'm going to do Wonka now because of
you. You want to go see just an absolutely delightful movie. You'll be delighted how Timothy Chalamet turns out to be such a great song and dance man. They put so many Easter eggs in this movie that relate back to the Gene Wilder movie without referring to it directly. But there are lots of things in this movie that you'll go, I know what that's going to be.
Oh, cool.
I know how that's going to turn out.
Because I love the original Willy Wonka.
Yeah, and this one has that same sense of whimsy, delightfulness, lots of wonderful songs in it, great performances.
Does he have the edge that Gene, like, does he, because there, Gene Wilder played it with an edge.
He's not edgy yet.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's still kind of young and naive.
Okay.
And just getting into the chocolate business.
Because that's what was so cool about Gene Wilder. You have this fanciful film with all the, you know, and then and he's like,
well, this is how Willy Wonka came to be that person that you're talking about. Hugh Grant almost steals the movie as the Oompa Loompa.
Right.
And how the Oompa Loompas, where did the Oompa Loompas come from? And how did that all get started? All that covered in the movie. So that's one that I love. The Color Purple is a beautiful, beautiful rendition of the movie that you may remember from Whoopi Goldberg, or the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel from Alice Walker. Highly recommended. Maestro, I think, is the best movie of the year. I just think it's got everything in it.
Watching that tonight.
It is. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It might be in a handful of theaters still. Practically none. It's mostly just on Netflix now. But Bradley Cooper is amazing as Leonard Bernstein. He not only stars in the movie, he directed it. He wrote it. He produced it. And Carey Mulligan, if she doesn't win an Academy Award, I will eat your hat. That's how good she is in this movie. All the way around. It's just spectacular performances. Really interesting story about the personal and professional life of Leonard Bernstein. There's Oppenheimer is still out there. Killers of the Flower Moon. If you're going to go see that, you should probably leave your house in about 5 minutes because it's a 3.5-hour movie. It's super. It's really great, but it's super long. Barbie is still out there right now. The Holdovers is a really great kind of a sleeper. Iron Claw is an amazing movie that is
out. Will Paul Giamatti get nominated,
right
now?
I think so. Yeah, I think
everybody's
so.
Talking about that.
I think so, yep. The Taylor Swift movie, of course, the Beyonce movie. Did you see either of those, Taylor Swift or Beyonce?
What do you think?
I'm going to say maybe Taylor Swift.
No, I didn't see any of them. No.
I would think you might like the Taylor Swift.
I'm a semi-Taylor fan through osmosis, I think. But I've never...
A semi-Swifty?
A semi-Swifty. There's such a thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a full metal jacket Swifty.
No,
I'm semi.
I understand.
I get it. But you cannot, and I talked about this when I filled in for you a couple times over the summer, you cannot deny the impact and the success that she's had.
She owned 2023.
Yeah, it was her year. Her and Barbie. But
she owned 2023.
And she could probably own 2024.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Yeah.
I went,
did you see her here?
No, I didn't see the concerts. I went to see the movie.
Uh-huh.
And enjoyed it. It's a nice, pleasant concert experience.
Yeah.
But you know, I go in to see these movies. They're a little bit mechanical for me,
right?
Because I see so many of the movies. But when I was leaving, a little girl comes up to me, maybe 10 years old. Hi, Mr. Richards. Thank you for coming to see the movie. And she hands me a friendship bracelet.
Oh, she gave you
one
a bracelet,
of these beaded,
right?
Beaded friendship bracelets.
That's part of the
and my
Swiftie
heart thing. Was oh. so touched. I was like, that is, if that's what Taylor Swift is doing to young people, God bless.
Now, did you see it with an audience or at a screening?
Audience.
And from what I heard, they were acting like it was a concert, right?
I think they may have been drugged.
Oh, this one wasn't?
This was a very, I've seen this movie twice now.
Oh.
I went once to screen it for business.
Right.
And the audience was quiet. Nobody was up and dancing.
Oh, okay.
The second time that I went, the kids were up and dancing, and it was kind of fun. It's not intrusive at all, and to see these little kids dancing and you know all dressed up like Taylor Swift, it's couldn't be more adorable.
And to your point, it's multi generational. You got 10-year-olds and 40-year-olds.
Yeah, very true.
It's not like it's just a teeny bopper. You have to be 14 years old to appreciate it.
Yep.
Because you've got a whole generation in their 20s who grew up with her. She's been around.
She's been around for a while
since
now.
She was 13. That's 20 years.
Yep. So, you know, you've got some movie options. You know, we'll be talking much more about it as we get into award season. The Golden Globes are right around the corner. The Oscar nominations are around the end of January. So, you know, this will be the first Oscars after the famous Will Smith slap of 2023.
That was only last year?
That was only last
year. Or this year.
Doesn't that seem like 100 years ago?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember watching the Academy Awards
going,
this is kind of a boring show.
Yeah, right.
This is like, there is nothing going on interesting. What am I going to report on the next morning? And then Will Smith
Will.
Tells him to get his wife's name out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Suddenly there was all pandemonium broke loose. But yeah, that was just last year. So we'll see how all of that shakes out. Lots of theater that's going on. I mentioned that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is still going on at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. You want to go see another great live theater performance, whether it's today or the next couple of weeks. It's going to be up and running at the Paramount for a little while longer. And that also is just a super, super delightful show. So, we've got some good things going
on. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, too. The non-equity Jeff Awards, which are the local awards for the Chicago
Theater.
You
might get nominated?
Well, I don't know about me, but I think the play I was in, The Crucible, I think we were Jeff recommended, and we got some really good buzz.
Yeah, some excellent reviews.
And
I was too busy to go see.
Of course,
it.
I
wanted to get over to see it.
And I don't know how much weight this carries, but I just was forwarded this. There's a local theater critic in the Chicago area. His name is Ricky Lee Travolta. He puts together some end of the year awards, and he mentioned me as best supporting actor.
Oh.
For The Crucible as Danforth, so I'm very humbled and very moved that people enjoyed my performance and our show. So we'll see. Hopefully, at least the show, we had a great cast. I'm hoping at least from an ensemble standpoint, we get a nomination as well as hopefully best play. And
I think we've
like
had
that.
Some really good theater in Chicago this year. We've had just recently we had that Betty Boop musical that did its world premiere here before.
Right.
Now it's closed on Christmas Eve, but is headed to New York. We've had Hamilton return to Chicago. We've had lots of great productions, large and small. That's what I love about the theater scene in Chicago. There's plenty going on to see and enjoy. Now, somebody on our text line said that the Will Smith thing was 2 years ago.
See, to me, that seems like it was. That was not. Are you going to be like Schwanee now and look something up?
this says it was. No, it says Will Smith slaps Chris Rock at Oscars 2022.
Oh, so it was. We're 2023, Dean.
It was March 27, 2022.
Right. This is 2023, so it wasn't earlier this year.
All right. So I was wrong. It's okay.
It goes out into the ether.
I can be wrong.
And I was reading on the text here, Fogelberg was 56.
Wow.
I thought, wow, man, that's really young.
Yeah.
Mod on.
Text line, yeah, okay. You can stop the Will Smith text. We just corrected that.
It's an avalanche.
He said something wrong. I'm going to text right now.
Jeez. Settle down, people. Relax. Guess what? I'm human. I make mistakes. Boys in the Boat, the movie Boys in the Boat, the George Clooney directed.
Oh.
Also an outstanding film. I think it's a good movie. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but somebody here said it's such a feel-good movie. And they would recommend that. I can see where some people would have liked it a little more than I did. I was
not a big rowing fan.
I was expecting a little bit. I don't like anything that promotes good health. Especially this time of year,
right? Exactly.
When we're all trying to lose a little weight, I don't need anything to be reminding me that I should be exercising more. Okay.
But you would say, does Maestro, like, is it going to be a sweep?
I don't know. I don't think everybody liked Maestro as much as I did.
Oh, okay.
Some people are being way overly critical, and they don't, they wanted the story told a different way. Mm. I just don't like reviews that want to remake the movie. I think a movie review should be your opinion about what you saw on the screen. I couldn't care less how a reviewer would have made the movie. I'm not interested in what you would have done. I'm only interested in what I saw on the screen, and I'll give you my opinion of what I saw on that screen. So I think the performances are stunning. I think the storytelling is stunning. The cinematography is amazing. The detail at which Bradley Cooper digs into the life of Bernstein, and he studied for like 6 years on how to be a conductor, on how to accurately do the conducting, and to do it in the Bernstein fashion, which was very passionate.
Yeah,
Bernstein was a very physical conductor, so to learn how to do it like he did, and you'll see when you watch the movie toward the end, there is a scene, it's like a 12-minute scene of Bernstein, Bradley Cooper, conducting the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. I was sitting in that theater watching this in tears.
Wow.
That's how moved I was watching this particular scene of the music being conducted. So,
yeah, I don't know if many people even recognize, once again, it's so sad, these giants like him. And I don't know how much the average person even knows.
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Do they know that he wrote West Side Story?
Yeah.
At the very least.
Do they even know West Side Story? Okay. I mean, does a certain generation even know what West Side Story is?
I know,
I remember his young people's concerts that used to be on television, and that's where I was it was for the first time that I was exposed to any kind of classical music.
It was like in the early 70s, right? Late 60s, early 70s?
I think so, yeah. That and Bugs Bunny cartoons really is my
exactly.
my complete exposure were. To classical music. anyway, that's my pick, and other people will have their own opinions on all that. All right, let's take a break here. It's 10:51, and we'll come back and wrap things up. We have a tradition on our New Year's Eve show to wrap things up with Ella Fitzgerald singing What Are You Doing on New Year's Eve, which is one of the greatest songs ever. So we'll get to all of that all coming up next. All right, it's 10:53, and coming up at 11 o'clock after a check of WGN News, we will get to Hamp and OB, Andy Mazur, and the boys, get you all set for the Bears game that's coming up today. Wanted to just take a few minutes to wind things up here on the show and just say thank you to all of you who listen every week and send such nice comments to us by email, by text, by actual mail. We appreciate you greatly. We thank you so much for listening. Mr. Dave Schwann, my thanks to you, my friend, all that you do and put up with on the show.
Well, we put up with each other and have for a long time. But I want to also add to what you just said about the listeners. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The best in the world.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Andy Mazur, who's getting ready with Hamp and OB right now. They're in a huddle. They actually are in a huddle right now, slapping each other on the on
they're
the,
wearing
on
jerseys
the butts.
And helmets.
Yeah.
34 dive.
So they're getting ready. But Andy, thank you to everything that he contributes to the show. And here's looking forward to a great 2024. Elton Jim Toronto, who drops by and visits with us every once in a while. Always a blast.
Thank you, Dean, so much for being a friend and being such a great supporter. You've helped make my dream stay of being on the radio a little longer than anybody else has, so I appreciate it.
So we'll be back on the WGN-TV Morning News on Tuesday. Right? Is that right? Tuesday. Tomorrow's Monday?
Tomorrow's Monday.
Yeah, and I'm off Monday because it's New Year's Day.
Look at you. Already slacking. First day of the year. Slacker.
Yeah.
How does Slacker George feel about that?
Happy New Year to you. In jail. So we'll be back. We've got lots. You know who we have on Tuesday? We have the actual children of Leonard Bernstein. His three children.
Oh, nice.
Talking about the...
Who have embraced Bradley Cooper.
Who have embraced Bradley Cooper and heartily endorsed this movie. So I'll have that for you this coming Tuesday. Bob Surratt's going to be back from vacation as well. And we'll be back with Bob, as we always are, Monday through Friday from 8 to 8:30. So thank you all again for listening. We really appreciate it. I hope you have a very, very happy New Year and a very safe 2024. Thank you so much, and as we always do, to wrap things up for the year, I thought we had the song ready, but we don't.
Why should you be prepared?
Well, that's not the one that we said.
Hello.
What is that? Holy smokes.
Way to end the year, Dean.
Damn computer. My New Year's resolution is to blow up this computer. Happy New Year, everyone.